Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Sandra Gonzalez. Sandra is a retired Marine officer who helps her clients kick self-doubt and perfectionism. And we're going to talk about how she's used adversity to her advantage and how you can do the same. So welcome to the show, Sandra. I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me, Scott. It's an honor to be here. And like you said, I am just that, a retired Marine officer turned high performance coach, speaker. So you're right. I do help my clients, men and women, kick self-doubt and perfectionism to the curb. I believe it's important to up-level your mindset, especially as an entrepreneur. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to get into this because I have found, not only in my own life, but just through talking to other people on this podcast, where you know, that perfectionism and then self-doubt creeps in because maybe things aren't as perfect as you thought they were going to be. And, you know, am I really capable? Do I, you know, there's that term imposter syndrome that comes in. Am I even doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I capable of doing these things? So, you know, these things creep up into people's minds all the time. And, you know, just hearing about your experiences and everything, I think is going to be really interesting. You know, for this episode and for the listeners. I know I'm going to take some stuff away from this episode, but hopefully the listeners will as well. For the listeners who aren't familiar with you, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I'm a retired Marine officer. What that means is I served 20 years of honorable service as a U.S. Marine. And while I was a Marine, I realized I loved leading. I loved mentoring, motivating, coaching, empowering men and women to step into the best version of themselves. So understanding that about me, as I retired from the Marine Corps, I knew I wanted to do that and become an entrepreneur. So I became a high performance coach and speaker. Now I've branded myself, my business. It's a continuous process. But how did I go about doing that? And I think one of the things that's really important, Scott, that's worth mentioning, is that life is dropping subtle hints. Life is continuously dropping subtle hints. And the onus is on us to really listen, you know? And one of the things that I share with my clients and your amazing viewers that are watching, your listeners, is that it's important for us to listen to what is calling at us, not what is clawing at us, right? So what is clawing at us is the ego. Now, the ego is not our amigo. And I have found this, you know, throughout my 20 years of service as a U.S. Marine. And I'm also Mexican American. I was, you know, born here in Los Angeles, California, raised in San Diego. Just a little bit of personal background. I'm, you know, a mother to two independent, successful young women. My oldest actually served 5 years in the Marine Corps. She's now studying in North Carolina, and my youngest is a sophomore at UCSD. So I share this because it's so important to listen again to what is calling at us.
I like that. But before we get more into that, Sandra, I'd love for you to tell me a little bit more about your experience in the Marine Corps and, you know, maybe what motivated you to join the Marines?
Beautiful question, Scott. So what motivated me to join the Marines? I would say it was my father who actually brought it up. You know, I'm the eldest of three, and he was my father. May he rest in peace. I just lost him 2 years ago. He was my hero, Scott. He was a patriot. He loved this country more than anything, you know, and he always wanted to join the military. And I do believe he lived somewhat vicariously through me, but he was the one that suggested, you know, he said, Mija, I think you should join the military because you can, you know, go to college. I can't give you this opportunity at this moment to further your education. You can travel. You can develop the discipline you need, you know? So right. He dropped that seed. He made that subtle, small suggestion. And I took and I ran with it. And the Marine Corps automatically appealed to me, Scott, because, you know, the few, the proud, the Marines. And walking into my recruiter's office, I saw this gorgeous, feminine, female Marine in her dress blues. And I was like, oh, I want to be like her. So I was immediately sold on this idea, and the rest is history, but it wasn't easy, you know, being a Marine, especially as a Latina, as a female minority, it was not easy. And my first duty station was with 7th Marines, an infantry unit, who, you know, these guys, I mean, you could smell the testosterone in the room. Type A personality, they could smell weakness. And I said, I have to work harder than my male counterparts. I have to develop my work ethic, you know, my credibility. And I have to work 3 or 4 times harder than them just to establish the respect that I need, you know, so I can move, you know, through the ranks and develop other leaders. So that's how I realized that I needed to, you know, develop my leadership skills through working hard, you know, establishing that work ethic coupled with discipline, which is another topic for another day that I think is pretty sexy.
Well, you know, I think as a infantry, I was Army, not Marines, but I was an infantryman myself. I think you're spot on with what you're saying there about how the guys in the infantry, they can smell weakness. They will root out that weakness. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of that comes from a sense of self-preservation. If you have weakness amongst the ranks, you're not going to be as successful as you can be. And when you're talking about war, that's talking about life and death. And so you want to root out that weakness, and you want to make everybody, not to kick them out necessarily, but you want to make everybody as strong as they can be and as good as they can be. And right. And I think in a way that sort of ties into what you do now. It's not necessarily, you know, picking at weaknesses and knocking people down or anything like that, but it's looking at, okay, well, where are some of these weak points and how can we make these stronger, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Scott. It all ties in together. And so I realized, you know, because life and the military experience was dropping subtle hints, I learned to infuse that into my coaching methodology now as a coach and speaker, you know, and I realized that now, as this high performance coach who helps high caliber entrepreneurs up level their mindset, I help them harness sexy confidence. And I'll get into a moment what that means, which is one of the first things I experienced being part of the infantry unit, you know? So I help them cultivate sexy confidence so they can take command of any room they step into and magnetize opportunities for impact and growth. So that's what I do as a coach and speaker when I help my clients. But going back to the sexy confidence, if I may, Scott, sexy confidence. I can only imagine what thoughts, you know, your viewers or listeners are conjuring up. But I want to be very direct. I want to be very clear about what sexy confidence means. It's this ability to master yourself and stay calm during stressful challenges and situations. It's sexy confidence is this high performance attitude. It's the state of mind that enables you to believe in yourself, right? And that's one of the things that I realized being in that infantry unit. Now, I experienced sexy confidence. The best example was my commanding officer. Now, my commanding officer was this at the time, he was a colonel, but he became a general, General James N. Mattis, who later on became, he's a former Secretary of Defense for President Trump. So this man displayed sexy confidence, Scott. He had the wherewithal, the conviction, the courage, to be authentic, to respect himself and others. And when he spoke, we listened. Now, I share this because I was just a private first class and I would go in there and I would clean his office. But he was, my father and General Mattis were some examples to me of what it means to cultivate sexy confidence.
Yeah. And when you describe that term, and the thought that came to my mind was, you watch a movie and you see this terrible incident take place and everybody's freaking out. They're panicking. They're running around. They don't know what to do. And you have that one person who is just calm, cool, collected. They know what to do. They go, they walk into the fire. They walk into the building that's collapsing all around them and they go and they do what they need to do. And it's like, that's to me that type of confidence or after a real life event, someone like the people at the Boston Marathon bombing a few years ago, where there's people bleeding out on the streets and people went into the danger zone and they went and they took care of what needed to be taken care of and they helped save people's lives. And that they were confident that knowing what they need to do, how to do it. And they just went in and they did it without really having to think twice about it. They just knew what to do and it just kicked in and they did it. And so, is that kind of along the lines of how you help your clients who maybe are struggling with self-doubt or imposter syndrome, like I mentioned before, to kind of kick that to the curb and get back on their feet and really act in a more confident way?
Absolutely. It's this ability to let go of perfectionism. And, I used to think perfectionism was a good thing. And it's not, it's really a cop out. So perfectionism, it doesn't allow you to be authentically who you are. And when you harness and cultivate sexy confidence, what it helps you do, is really shift your perspective and recognize where you might be holding yourself back. Because ultimately, I'm here to, help. I'm here to coach my clients, but then they're going to take whatever they've learned from me and move forward with the emotional intelligence, with the sexy confidence that enables them to let go of imposter syndrome, recognizing when it is happening, right? So it's perfectionism. There's these other things that come into play, whether it's in our personal or professional lives. And then it's these internal enemies, the enemies of self-doubt, fear, and uncertainty. And if you can recognize when these enemies, so to speak, right? When you're like, okay, well, what am I afraid of? And I'm afraid of giving the speaking engagement in front of 500 people. Well, these are the things that I coach my clients with, that I live vicariously through them. And it's also setting the example, because I've been there when I know it can be scary, you know, pulling the trigger. I know it can be scary speaking in front of a live audience. I know it can be scary, in my personal case, finding my dad unconscious and subsequently losing him 2 months later. And, you know, going through having a marriage, I was married for 15 years and I went through a difficult divorce. So whether it's dealing with a difficult divorce, dealing with the death of a loved one, dealing with debt, you know, financial debt, or some type of disaster, whether it's a global pandemic, it's learning to harness the sexy confidence so you can shift your perspective and learn that adversity is your advantage. So now it's like, okay, so this thing is happening to me. How can I shift my perspective so I can focus on the cure and not the disease?
So Sandra, when we're in the military, we're taught to sort of be perfectionists, right? When we mess up in basic training, we're told that these types of things are what get people killed. So how do we let go of that perfectionism when we get out of the military?
Ooh, great question, Scott. You know, what comes to mind, especially you brought up my military experience. You know, I was a Marine Corps drill instructor for 3 years. And during that time frame, I trained over 500 women recruits for the rigors of combat. I taught them how to survive and thrive in a hostile environment. Now, I bring this up because the very first thing we teach our female and male recruits is to make an impeccable bed, right? Their bed, the rack, has to be made specifically to our standards. There better be a 45-degree angle. It better be 6 inches. And, you know, after a while, just by looking at it, I could tell if it was 6 inches and there was a 45-degree angle and it was impeccable. Otherwise, I would mess it up. I would be that horrible drill instructor that mess up their, you know, I'd create.
I hated people like you. I got to tell you.
I was that B-I-T-C-H, you know, but I realized the more I poured into these recruits, the more challenging I made it for them, the better they'd be able to survive in a hostile environment. So going back to the bed, why am I bringing this up? Because this is one of the things that I still continue to teach. I actually share this on my social media. I make my bed every day. I actually wake up earlier than what I used to in the military, but that's personally because I'm a high performance coach and I know, you know, when I have peak performance. But anyways, not to deviate from what we're talking. Now, why is a bed important? Right? So there's so much that's tied to that. It's attention to detail. It's teaching them to raise their standards. It's teaching them to be perfect in a way. So I know these militant standards have been, you know, like we've been like, I mean, for 20 years, this is what I taught. I'm still teaching it. But as an entrepreneur, being a perfectionist, and even in the military, it doesn't serve us, because if you want to be a better leader, if you want to connect, if you want to delegate authority, the best way to do this is to be authentically yourself. And no leader is perfect. Nobody's perfect, right? So it's important to understand this human concept of I'm never going to be perfect. So why strive for perfectionism? You know, because it's never going to happen. So what do you do instead? You want to make sure, one of my recommendations, if I may, Scott, is 80% is good enough. If you're like working on something, you know, it's like if it's 80%, it's good. Get it out there. That book, 80%, get it out there. You know, the content, get it out there. This podcast, there's going to be mistakes in this podcast. Who cares? Get it out there. People want to see you being authentically yourself. And when you do this, you can connect authentically to those you're leading and serving. And this builds trust. This builds rapport. More importantly, as a result of you respecting your authenticity, you know, people are going to respect you. So, I mean, I can go on and on, Scott, about the importance of, you know, letting go of perfectionism, because we think there's a positive connotation associated with, you know, perfectionism. That's what I used to think. I realized it's really a cop-out. It was holding me back.
Yeah, and I think that there's a time and place for things that need to be perfect. You know, if you're a doctor and you're doing a surgery and you need blood for a patient, well, it better be the right type of blood. Otherwise, that patient's not going to make it, right? And so there's a time and a place for things to be perfect. But I think what you're saying is that we're not 100%, like 100% of our lives don't need to be perfect. They're not going to be, no matter how much time, effort, energy we expend in it, they're not going to be perfect 100% of the time anyways. So don't let that be the thing that holds you back. Don't let that be the thing that holds you back from starting to write that book or going for that job that may be a little bit outside of your comfort zone or any number of other things that you may be going for. Don't let those, just because it's not perfect, don't let that be the thing that holds you back. Like you said, 80% is better than nothing. And so if you get that book out there, maybe it's not 100% perfect. Yeah, maybe there's, you know, a small typo. Maybe you don't have a comma where it's supposed to be. It's not 100% perfect, but it's good. You know, like the content that's there is good. It's an important story maybe that needs to be told. I think those are the things that we should be focusing on as opposed to being 100% perfect 100% of the time, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you always want to raise your high caliber standards, always, especially if there's a doctor operating on me. Oh, he better give it 110% or on anybody, right? He better give it absolute best. Same thing can be said for others. You want to give it your absolute best. However, you know, we have this. I don't want to say screwed up way of thinking, but sometimes it was the perfectionist in me that didn't allow me to put my best foot forward. And when you put your best foot forward, that's good enough. As you move forward, you know, as you fail forward, which is part of life and business, it's about accepting that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to experience setbacks. We're going to fail. The thing is to keep getting back up, developing the mental toughness, resiliency to keep moving forward.
Yeah. And I think that's important, is to keep moving forward, despite the fact that things aren't perfect. The other thing I wanted to bring up is related to the military and your experiences. You obviously spent a good amount of time in the military. The military gives us a good sense of purpose while we're serving. But after leaving the military, sometimes it's hard to find that sense of purpose. Was that a struggle for you when you got out of the military?
So good, Scott. You know, I was actually just I was invited to speak at Loras College here in San Diego, California. And most of the students there are veterans. And I was asked to speak veterans that, you know, want to start and build or have a business. They're now entrepreneurs. And so I was asked to speak there. And thankfully for me, because I've allowed myself to listen to the subtle hints, I knew that, you know, my military experience, there were things there that I knew I wanted to transition into becoming an entrepreneur. Now, that's not the case for most people. So how do you therefore make that transition, especially after 20 years of military service, where your identity is tied to this organization. You don't know anything else. It can be very scary starting something else, you know? And same thing for me, but I knew, I said, I want this more than anything. I want to be an entrepreneur. Where I started is different to where I'm at now. And this is a beautiful process of continuously developing yourself, whether it's in the personal aspect or the professional. So how did I make that transition? You know, I knew, so in my military experience, I connected with other entrepreneurs. A quick example, if I may share with you, Scott, you know, I was on the Home Shopping Network live. I had to give a testimonial because I was part of, you know, this international fitness model. I was part of her fitness. You know, I was a master instructor that became part of her fitness DVDs. I actually came out on her DVDs and we were there promoting her DVDs. So it was in that moment, Scott, I realized, wait a minute, this woman has branded herself. If she can do it, I can do it too. So, you know, that was a first glimpse into me becoming an entrepreneur and just taking that idea and running with it. But for the viewers and the listeners that are watching, how do you transition? My recommendation is to understand your strengths. You want to understand your strengths, you know, understand your weaknesses, and you want to build upon those so you can put your best foot forward. So for me, like, I love naturally motivating people. Like, I don't want people to give up ever, you know, and this is why I've created my business, because, you know, if you're around me or I become a coach, giving up is not an option. It is not an option. So it's about failing forward and honoring your journey. So I hope that answers your question, Scott, as far as how do you make that transition? For me, I had hints.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, like you were saying before, just following those hints and picking up on those cues, paying attention to those little details and following along with that. Sandra, the military, when I was in, when you were in, it instills for sure a sense of discipline in all of us. But it also gave us a sense of structure to let that discipline really take hold. But after we get out of the military, we lose that structure, which I think is a key component to the discipline. It's really easy to be disciplined when everything is structured. Your day is lined up. You have to be at a certain place, wearing a certain uniform, doing a certain thing at a certain time. You have that structure that is built in to the military. But when we leave, we lose that structure. So question for you is, how do you coach people to stay disciplined and develop more consistency in their lives after leaving the military, maybe if they're in the military or just in general? Just how do they stay disciplined? And like you were saying earlier, you wake up every morning, you make your bed, and you know, you have that discipline and that routine in your life. How do people regain that?
Ooh. So how do they stay and how do they regain self-discipline, right? Because Scott, you know, if I haven't shared this with you before, thank you for your service and creating this platform that people can listen and watch, you know, and achieve a wealth of information and wisdom and motivation. So how can you drive on and develop the sexy self-discipline that you need to move forward in accomplishing your goals or losing weight or, you know, just achieving this desired outcome? Now, I keep it simple, Scott. If it's not simple, I don't do it. And simplicity is the way to go. So going back to my clients, high caliber women entrepreneurs, most of them, I teach them to make, like I show them, make your bed, start there. And they're like, really, Sandra? I'm like, yes, start making your bed. And I want to see it every day because I'm showing them my bed. My bed's made every day on social media. I'm setting that example. So I want them to show me every day. So what does this do? You develop self-discipline. You strengthen your self-esteem because you've accomplished the first thing every morning. It's tied to your self-esteem because now you feel accomplished. You look at your bed and you're like, oh my goodness, I am structured. I am organized. And this strengthens your self-esteem, which is tied to your self-worth, your sexy confidence, right? So why is this important? Because it will bleed into other areas of your life. So now that you've made your bed, and hopefully you've gotten up a little bit earlier, your thing's done, right?
Right.
Now you will do the next, what I call high caliber habit. So what is that for you? For an entrepreneur, it could be like journaling. It could be meditating. It could be praying. It could be reading, something that primes your brain, right? So you develop what I call this bulletproof mindset, which is essential for men and women entrepreneurs. It's so important to develop this warrior's mindset. So it's small, little habits, right? It starts as a routine that eventually develops into a ritual. Mm-hmm. And now it becomes this high caliber habit if consistently performed, you know, 30, 45 days, 66 days, I would say for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and those habits, once they become habits, it almost feels uncomfortable not to have that in your life, right? And so if you're doing the thing that is leading you to whatever that end goal is for you, if it's, a career-oriented or personal, maybe a fitness-oriented thing, once when it becomes a habit and you've developed it into your life and you don't do it, you've been going to the gym every single day for the last year. Now it's a habit. You stop going like one day, you're going to be like, wait a minute, this feels weird. Like I didn't get that exercise in. I didn't get that good sweat or, lift or, whatever it is that you were going to the gym to do, you didn't get that in. It's going to feel a little strange. And the same thing with just about any other area of your life that you're trying to improve. There's good habits, there's bad habits. And you can make the bad habit of not doing the thing that's going to lead you to whatever your goal is. Or you can do the good habits, so the things that are going to get you closer to that goal. And so, I think to your point, developing those habits and getting that ritual and making it uncomfortable to not have that in your life, I think is probably a critical component of all of this, right?
Exactly. So it's these little things too, and more importantly, further recognizing, at least for me, now that I'm retired, I'm retired. But my family's like, why the heck do you get up so early, Sandra? And what they don't know is I'm passionate about something. I got to drive on. You know what I'm saying? Just like you, Scott, right. I got to drive on. So I refuse to give into mediocrity. This is the thing. This is the thing that gets me up. Sure, like this morning, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm sore. I'm not motivated. But if you incorporate the right self-talk, you're going to have this positive dialogue with yourself. And now you know how to intrinsically motivate yourself so you can drive on and get your butt to the gym and now fall in love with discomfort, because that's another habit that I help, these entrepreneurs with, Scott, is fall in love with discomfort. Now, people shy away from this. They run away from this. People have gone so complacent. And this is why self-discipline is so sexy, Scott, because if you fall in love with this ability to feel comfortable with the discomfort, then you're going to be okay. And this is what entrepreneurs need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think more than just entrepreneurs, I think everybody needs that level of discipline and that being able to be comfortable with being uncomfortable in their lives. Yes. So, because I mean, life isn't perfect. It's not pretty and neat and organized. Uncomfortable things come your way all the time. And when you're comfortable with that discomfort and you're able to push through, regardless of the fact that it's an uncomfortable situation that you're going through, it could be, you know, loss of a job. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be, you know, other things that happen, unexpected expenses that come up with your, you know, in your personal finances. You know, these are all uncomfortable things, but if you are comfortable with being uncomfortable, you're able to push through a little bit easier than you are if you're just sitting there and panicking and not knowing what to do. And you're just reacting to things as opposed to thinking about, okay, well, what was my game plan? I already war game this out in my head. This is what I'm going to do in this situation, you know? And I think that gives you a little bit more confidence and a little bit more ability to bounce back from some of these things, right?
Right, right. And that's why you want to develop the self-discipline to do these small routines, rituals, high caliber habits, so you can ultimately master yourself.
Right.
We can't control external circumstances. All we can do is control ourselves, master ourselves, and stay calm during stressful and challenging situations. And self-confidence is key.
Absolutely. Were there ever times where you struggled with your own motivation, maybe having self-doubt yourself or dealing with perfectionism or other things like that? And if so, what did you do to overcome these things in your own life?
Great question, Scott. So it's like a roller coaster, you know, it's like life. And this is a thing, like look at life and business as an adventure. Like it's a roller coaster. You go through these trials and tribulations. Sometimes, you know, you're not going to be as confident, and sometimes right. You will be more confident. And same thing can be said for me. The only thing now, thankfully, I've developed the emotional intelligence to know when my confidence is being assaulted and what I can do to get it back up, to be present during a podcast, to be present with my clients, right? To not allow a challenging situation in this moment deter or derail me. So to answer your question, what do I do? Well, first of all, like I develop self-awareness. That's key. Developing self-awareness around what am I thinking? What behaviors am I displaying every day? As a result, am I taking action or am I not taking action? So it all goes back to this beautiful thing, you know, how am I priming my brain today to be successful, to achieve this thing that I want? And all of a sudden, you know, I'm going through a divorce. Oh my goodness. But wait a minute. I was a perfect wife. At least I thought I was. I did everything right. You know, I took care of myself. I took care of my husband, the family. But now, after 15 years, he wants a divorce. What do I do in that moment? Was I infuriated? Damn right. You know, I was pissed the hell off when things like this happened. Now I was dealing with betrayal. So in those moments that trigger you, there's the beautiful challenge. Life is teaching you a lesson in those moments. So if one of your listeners or viewers is going through that right now, the most important thing you can do right now is breathe. Take in a deep breath. Develop the self-awareness about what is happening. And relax yourself, you know, your nervous system. Because all of this triggers your nervous system and your thoughts, your behaviors, your actions, or lack thereof. So I've realized, oh my goodness, it's adversity's my advantage. and how I deal with these challenging moments makes all the difference. So it's been a beautiful lesson, and I've learned that I didn't lose an ex-husband. I gained a valuable lesson, you know, and I wish him the very best. I didn't lose a father. I'm grateful I had a dad. You know, I lost my dad 2 years ago. That's the real man that, you know, my heart was broken. He was my hero. He was everything. But I didn't lose a dad. I'm grateful I had a hero in this lifetime. Many people go through this entire lifetime without a father figure, and yet I had one. So it's learning to focus on the cure, not the disease.
And that's such a great, powerful way to look at things, and not look at setbacks and adversity as this self-defeating kind of way where it's like, woe is me, and everything's bad and negative, and you're beating yourself up over all these things. It's like there's good that comes out of even the biggest struggles that, mm-hmm. that take place. Sandra, this episode, to me, it's been really beneficial. You know, hearing your background and your story and how you've used setbacks in your life to your advantage, and any kind of adversities and things like that, you see those as opportunities as opposed to, you know, problems in your life. For the listeners who are out there who might be struggling with some of this stuff on their own, where can they go to find out more about the services that you offer to help out with people with these types of issues?
Well, thank you, Scott. So they can reach me directly through social media, or my website is sandragonzalez.com, and that's sandragonzalez.com. I know sometimes the Gonzalez can be misspelled, so I just wanted to clarify that. And you can contact me directly on Instagram, send me a DM. I'm at Coach Sandra Gonzalez. I also offer free training. I have free training out there. It's sexyconfidencetraining.com, and they will automatically get additional training as to knowing a little bit more of what I have to offer as a high performance coach and speaker. So those are the direct platforms. I loved those DMs, you know, so I welcome those DMs, and I'm here to serve you, Scott, and your community. And thank you for having me, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for joining me. I know, you know, sometimes recording these episodes, it can take a chunk out of the day. And, you know, when people like you come on the show, share your experiences and also, you know, how you can help people. You know, it's one thing to talk about an experience, which is, I think, important to do. But then the follow through, like how do people benefit from this, and how can they improve their lives through maybe some of the struggles that you've gone through? And, you know, I know a lot of times we will talk to people who have gone through different experiences, but we don't always listen to how they've benefited from those experiences and how they've come out the other side better off through those experiences. And so, you know, hearing your story and things that you've done, and now that you're helping your clients do just that, it's a great thing that you're doing, because it's not like, hey, I figured this thing out, now I'm going to keep it to myself and just go about my day. You know, you go out and you go out and help other people. So I do appreciate everything that you do, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. So again, for the listeners, the websites and the social media links and everything will be in the show notes. So if you didn't catch that when Sandra put them out there, we'll have all those links in the show notes. Sandra, again, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Oh, it's been an absolute honor, Scott. It was so much fun being here. Anything I can do to serve you and your community, this is what ignites my passion to keep going, because we're here to serve others.
Exactly. And I for me, that's why I do this podcast and the show. It's because I want to help other people. I know there's people out there who are struggling. I've struggled myself, and I've had issues, and I've needed help, and I've not known where to turn. And there are other people out there who are just like me, people who are like you, who needed some help, needed some guidance, assistance, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, if I can put some information, some resources out there for people, then I feel like I'm giving back to that community and helping to continue to serve in that community. So thanks again for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me. And just a reminder for you and your viewers to drive on.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.